Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests, discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. We have a treat for you today. She is one of the Bay Area's well-known media personalities. Some of you may know her from Soul Beat Show from not so far back in the day. Others are familiar with her most recent community service. Angela Cleo Smith, or should I say Dr. Smith, is one of our guests. Ms. Latifa Abdullah's specialty is empowering women. She will be here to present her ideas on how to go about that mission. She, too, is a radio host, so I'm looking forward to that interview. Both of these ladies are members of the Bay Area social network called Professional Networking, where professionals connect. It's located at professionalnet.ning.com. That's professionalnet.ning.com. But before we bring on our guests, I'd like to play a record that sort of sets that tone for the show and guests. I believe the song complements those subjects and events that we will discuss today, ideas that are pertinent to our daily lives. It is from the late George Duke's last CD. The CD is Dreamweaver, released in 2013, just before he passed. The cut has changed the world. I've played it often, and I'll continue to play it. It features Layla Hathaway, Jeffrey Osborne, Lori Perry, B.B. Winans, Dira Sugandi, Freddie Jackson, Terry Dexter, and Kennedy Fusiler. It is a fitting reminder that we, the people, make up the world. Therefore, if we want things to change, it is up to us to facilitate that change. Here is Change the World, George Duke and Company.
My main theme is the danger of nuclear weapons.
We are at a very critical point in American history.
As the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Idealism is very important.
We can change the world. We can change the world.
With all the problems we face in the world today,
I know it's difficult to believe that a single person or a group of people can possibly make a difference, but every solution begins with a dream, and a dream is the substance of things hoped for, and hope put into action can be the beginning of something profound. My wish is that this song will uplift spirits and musically offer the positive messages that the world so desperately needs.
Gather around and talk a minute. What I have to say is quite simple, but very hard to do. What have we got to lose?
Bye.
Somebody,
can we all just get along?
like that song. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to bring to you our special guest of today, Dr. Angela Cleo Smith. Most of you know I'm a people person and watcher, and Angela, whom I consider as more of a friend than acquaintance, we find that rare quality of a natural service person of the community. By that I mean she is the kind of person that unassumingly searches out and contemplates or completes projects that benefit her community with its people. She is not someone who looks for large monetary rewards for her efforts because self-satisfaction is a reward. We hope you get to know and agree with me. Here is one of my favorite people, Dr. Angela Cleo Smith. Angela, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Angela, should I call you Dr. Smith, Dr. Cleo, or can I just call you Angela?
call me Angela because actually I have one more month of, I'm getting approvals right now. All of my coursework is done. My dissertation is done. Now I'm just waiting for them to approve, to say yes. And before this semester's over, I will be Dr. Smith. So Dr. Angela Cleo Smith. You're
that.
A little premature, but I'm looking forward to being called that.
Well, that's all right.
No. So it's up to you.
Some say I might have been a premature baby, but you can't prove that by me. So we'll see. So tell us, how are you involved as a doctorate of public administration candidate? And well, you already told us what the end result will be, but just tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for having me. And just to let you know and your audience know that I'm not used to being on this end of the mic, so this is somewhat of a new experience for me. So thank you for this new experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So before I can answer that question, I'd like to tell her just a quick story of how it all came to be.
Okay.
I was a business person before I was educated. Most people, they go to school, go to high school, then go to college, and then go to work. I think I did. I might have done it backwards, but that's the way my journey came to be. I was a business person, and I went back to school at the age of 30. So between 20 and 30, I was in business. I owned a nightclub and restaurant. I was on a television station. I did a lot before school, but I thought one thing I'm missing, my education. So I had a lot of training in television production, but not enough to even have transfer credits to move forward to get a AA degree. So I had to start from the beginning. So I received my education at Berkeley Community College, my AA in liberal arts, and then I transferred to Cal, the University of California, Berkeley, and then I received my bachelor's degree in sociology. Then I moved forward to my master's degree in public administration. So that's where the public administration part started.
Okay.
I didn't know that I was going to go as far as getting a doctorate degree, but these days you're still limited with a master's degree, especially with what I want to do. And so I decided to pursue a doctorate in public administration. And I totally agree with public administration. And with this extra degree now, I think people will listen to me more, not saying that they didn't listen, but now I can go into different schools, different areas. And one of my criteria that I want to focus on is bullying. And I wrote a whole dissertation on bullying. And I want to go into low-income schools in our Bay Area and listen to the kids. The methodology that I used in my research was surveying young students in high school, and then I conducted a focus group. I felt it was important to my research project to give students a voice. And my aim was to create an anti-bullying program from the suggestions from the students themselves. And that's basically how I got involved. And what I actually do is hands-on. I'm not just doing things from a book. You know, I've lived, I've experienced. And as a result, my end result, I think I've already done a lot. Now that I have a doctorate degree, I can pursue my dream. I could work with many nonprofit organizations. I can work in schools. And I can do some of the things that I couldn't normally do without that doctorate degree.
Yeah. No. I mean, I remember when you first told me about it, and I just I was just floored by it, you know. So I'm not surprised that, you know, that that's the tack you took, you know, to go back in school and start over, so to speak, and pursue something much higher, because it gives you more credibility.
Absolutely. I believe in reinventing yourself, and I did it through education.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get off the serious issues here and talk about an old program that you was on, Soul Beat. And for those who don't know, Soul Beat was one of the first black television programs in the Bay Area, and Angela was part of it. I figured you must have been about 10 or 12 years old when you were on it. I'm just kidding, you know. But how did you begin working for Soul Beat?
How did you know about that anyway?
Well,
I guess it's no real
secret. That's all right.
I mean,
I have my sources.
Yeah, I mean, I know you have sources. Soul Beat Television, that was our local black-owned, operated television grassroots station in Oakland, California. And I used to watch Soul Beat like everyone else. And the way I started, by chance, I was working in a clothing store. Of course, yeah, I was very young at the time. And I came out of the dressing room, and Soul Beat Television was actually shooting a commercial there where I was working. And so I was the model for the commercial. So after meeting Chuck Johnson, he said, "You got to be on my television show." So, you know, I was like, "This isn't Hollywood. What are you talking about?" So I don't know. After that, I guess the rest is history. That's how I actually got started, was, you know, just doing a commercial from a business that I was working at. And and then Chuck asked me to be a part of the television station.
Were some of the jobs you performed on the show a network, and did you find it a valuable training ground for a future in TV hostess or some other venture that you had in mind and, you know, that you are now involved in?
Yeah, you know, I did a lot of jobs at Soul Beat. I started with doing the commercials, you know. I was paid $100 every time I did a commercial. So I said, okay,
Big money.
Yeah, big bucks, right? So I said, okay. Next thing I know, Chuck Johnson said, run out there and go do a show. I said, on what? He said, you'll figure it out. And I was like, okay. So I started doing a show, and then I asked for a co-host. So I created what was called Cleo's Beat, and I had a co-host, and it was very popular. People just loved it. But it was, again, grassroots TV. Sometimes the TV would go off, and, you know, our commercials were, you know, you remember Soul Beat, don't you?
Yeah, I watched.
But let me just tell you about a valuable training ground. For example, the comedian Lunel, who now lives in Hollywood, she left Oakland, California, to go pursue her dreams in L.A. But she got her start doing a show called The Bong Show on Soul Beat Television. And now you can see her all over television from, you know, from some of the black television shows to, you know, working with some of the major top actors today. So she's a success story. And then I have another friend. Her name is Denise Smith. She's right now a real estate mogul who recently wrote a book called From Rags to Real Estate. Now, she had a real estate show, And she sold mainly to the people in the community. And to this day, she is one of the largest real estate agents in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, training ground. I know I learned public speaking, how to communicate better. I had no experience. I was thrown into this. I overcame shyness. I developed social skills. And it's been useful throughout my whole career.
One more thing
about Sophie Television. I was one of the sales persons because I asked Chuck, I said, okay, I'm doing commercials, I'm doing television shows, so how do I expand into doing what you do? Because I would always go with him. He would make the deals, and everybody would say yes. I don't know what was so popular about that TV show. I think because we were probably the only black television station, you know, across the country.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
And so I learned how to sell TV advertisement. I mean, I had the Port of Oakland. I had Wells Fargo, McDonald's, and many, many more. So I learned a lot through Sobe Television. And as I grew, I became a nightclub owner. And so I used Sobe Television as my vehicle to let everybody know some of the events that I was doing, some of the social events, the activities, the political events. So as a result, you know, that's what led me to where, you know, I am today. So, yeah, I really thank Chuck Johnson, who's no longer with us, but that small little station in our community helped a lot of careers and are still thriving to this day.
Yeah. No, I remember that as some of it, you could tell it was, you know, they weren't as funded as some of the regular network programs, but the idea of them showing the black community and people of color and advertising different businesses, and everybody on there seemed to be professional, and I just enjoyed it, you know. I just enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Minute,
I mean,
we have a caller. I'm
going to my autograph.
Your autograph? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
No, I guess not.
This is going. I thought that was a bit much, but but that's just to let you know that people appreciate seeing themselves on television.
That's right.
And
that's
so
exactly
they
right.
they had this deep respect for us.
Okay. Well, we got a call on the line. I'm going to bring them in for a brief moment and see what they got on their mind. Okay,
oh, I remember those days.
Okay, 510-333-7637. Can you give us your name and tell us what you're calling in about?
Hi, this is Nina Kazi, and I'm just supporting Miss Angela Cleo Smith. I'm just supporting you. It sounds great, and I'm getting a little insight into how you developed such a wonderful style.
Oh, Nina.
Yeah.
Nina. Hi, Nina Kazi. Yeah, I know Nina. She's one of the best Bay Area artists. She sings. She has this style like no other. She's a jazz and rhythm and blues. I'm sure you know her, Codis, because she's one of our professional net members. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's going to be on the show or be on one of the shows. I can't tell you exactly what day, but I know me and her has already talked, so she's coming
up.
Good.
It's going to
be
good.
The Nina Kazi show. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, all right, Nina, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
I'm
going to
move
right,
on,
I'm
and thanks
in
for calling in.
Yeah, I'm just listening in and being of support. Okay, you guys carry on. I'm enjoying.
Thank you. All right. Angela, you are still the president of the board at Berkeley Community Media. Do you still host a professional net TV show?
Yeah. Well, that's two different. Yeah, I'm still the president. I've been the president of Berkeley Community Media, the board, for a year now, so I still have another year to go. And the reason why I chose to get on the board is to give back to what I think was given to me I've been involved in so many different areas in public administration, and now I have the opportunity to have a voice for the community. And mm-hmm. since I have a background in business and many years in public TV, I just saw this as a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. And as far as professional net television, yes, I mm-hmm. still have my show. I've been very busy here lately. However, I'm always open to having more guests on the show. So if mm-hmm. anyone out there want to give, you know, talk about some of the things that they're doing in the community, mm-hmm. that's kind of like my format. Mm-hmm. I call it Professional Net TV because of our Professional Net website. I've mm-hmm. Interviewed many of the members on the site. So even you, CODIS, you know, you've been on the show. So, I do still have the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was my first venture on a TV show, so I was wide-eyed and very, very awed and trying to see what everybody was doing. You know how that goes. So, yeah.
Oh, really? You were so comfortable at it. Well, you're a radio talk show host, so it's the only difference is we can see you on TV.
Well,
other than that,
Well, you know, I always tell people it takes me almost 20, 30 minutes to say hello. So, I have to watch myself because I'm talking a bit too much.
That's the gift of gab.
Exactly. Well, I talked a little bit about the Professional Network website in the beginning of the show. I am a member, and as you said, and like to think of it as the Bay Area's little LinkedIn network. Did you find it challenging to administrate such a site when you first started it, or how did you just kind of think about creating that that website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a challenge, but I invite opportunities of challenges. I like that. If it wasn't a challenge, I probably would scratch it off and say I've done that. Through the website, I've given many mixers at restaurants and night spots to bring people together so that they can network and enable people to connect in ways that they couldn't normally do unless you were on a LinkedIn site. Professional Net is a site for professionals only. We are local. I don't allow too many people to join outside of a 100-mile radius because we want people to meet in person, do business together. And if you're lucky, like most of us, like you and I, CODIS, become friends.
Right.
It's about 3 years old now, and it's still up and running.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a tremendous site. I enjoy it. I just find so much talent on there, and I've got some words about it in the last word. So, anyway, I don't want to go on and on about it because you're proud of it, and I'm just glad to be on it because, as I said, I see so much diverse talent on there, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
This sort of leads me into the world of social media in general. It's a given that it is a valuable tool as a way of communicating. Do you think entrepreneurs or just people in general on sites such as Facebook or Google are using these sites to their full advantage?
Well,
and that,
I personally use social media. I've studied social media, and I understand it. I recently received a government contract as their social media strategist. So for me, I do business. And I actually do business even on Facebook. And so it doesn't cost much. And I think it opened doors to let people know what I do. And I don't just go on Facebook to chat or gossip. But I use it as a positive note as well, you know, because it is set up to take photos, you know, reach out to your family and friends. That's fine. But as entrepreneurs, you can take advantage of it. But what you need to do is take it full advantage of it, but do it in a way that works for you. So So you have to kind of study it because there are so many. So if you're doing an activity, an event, smart business people use social media sites as their vehicle to get the word out. I mean, this is the way of the world now. So if you're not using all your devices and technology and taking full advantage of it, I mean, this is our new world order, then you know, shame on you, because I think this is the way things are going now. This, it's not only a great way to communicate, but it's fun, it's exciting, and it's beneficial, and you can make money as well.
Yeah. And as you say, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I just wanted to say that I don't think social media should take the place of doing face-to-face business, because I do still believe in that personal dealings, because you can see a person, you can hear them, you can interact with them by looking at their gestures, their smile. You can look them in the eye, and you can believe what they're saying. So social media is there, but do not let that be your only means of advertising when you still have that face-to-face way of communicating. So don't lose sight of that.
And that's probably about the most important aspect of it, besides making it work for you, is don't let it take over your world, as is you stay in a room all by yourself and you don't interact with the general public or friends and family, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that happens. That is happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without getting into the debate of funding for public television, do you see the need for continuing public TV, and do you think it will grow while offering great programming?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're speaking to the choir with that, because public television. Now, I am the president of Berkeley Community Media, and we just celebrated 20 years. And I believe in alternative television. So we have over 100 television producers who create their own shows and offer great programming. And it's local, and it's TV at its finest. It's you, it's me, it's regular people doing regular things, and some people doing some really extraordinary things. Now, Berkeley Community Media, now I can speak to that for public television because that's who I'm working with right now. There's free speech television, and sometimes free speech can be controversial, so we do have that. For those folks from the 60s who paved the way for freedom of speech, I think they'd be proud that we are carrying that torch and keeping this movement alive.
I agree, you know. So every time I hear, and I don't want to get too political here, but every time I hear a Republican say things like, well, we don't really need public TV, you know, I go, whoa.
Right.
Okay. You know,
yeah.
Something you're trying to hide, something you don't want people to
know. You're hiding,
you know?
Something. And not only that, CODIS, network, mainstream television has what they call they all have this, what they call it, like a universal television, where everybody's saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And with alternative television, like public with the public TV, you're able to say some of the truth that you know it and see it and live it and experience. You're able to share that. And we are doing it as real people. We're not actors. We're not trying to be superstars. And we're not even trying to make big money off of it. That's not the end goal in public television. It's just sharing ideas, talking to real people, and coming up with some interesting stuff. I mean, you know, public television is very interesting. And it's you and me.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, network TV, as you're saying, most people are, you know, depending on the show you're talking about, they're working from a script. You know, they're saying things that the editor, the owner of the program wants them to say. And a good example of that is Fox News. And let me get off that doggone soapbox before I go into Fox News. So let me just go into the next question, because that's a whole 2-3 hour show right there.
Ooh,
I don't even, well, anyway.
Scary.
How does one go about getting into public broadcasting? Do you have any ideas, or can you point a interested party who might be thinking about it in the way to start or go?
Yeah, I can really only speak freely about how to get in public broadcasting at Berkeley Community Media, where what that is called, and there's others, but I'm only speaking from experience. It's what called PEG Access, which means Public Education and Government, and we're non-commercial. So we offer training. We do editing. We offer field production. We have two studios, one large studio and one express. And we're also keeping up with the latest technology. We just got this new TriCaster, which there's a class tomorrow, which I'm taking. For the Express Studios, so they're going to have all this background. I mean, it's almost like a green screen without having a green screen. It's what they call a TriCaster. So if anybody wanted to get into public broadcasting, that would be a way of doing it. Just we take in a lot of interns from UC Berkeley and Berkeley City, and we're connected right to Berkeley High School. So some of the high school students who are interested in television come and get their groundwork training right there at Berkeley Community Media. So if someone was interested in public broadcasting, that would be a wonderful start. We also just started our own app. I mean, we're really growing, called Mediafile, PHILE. And, so, I mean, we're growing. After being there for 20 years, that means, says that we're not stopping. We're only going to move forward, and we're going to move with the times. And as one more year as the president, I'm going to make sure that we are on solid ground, because a few years back we were in the red. We were struggling. Mm-hmm. Things weren't going right. And right now I'm proud to say we are in the black. Things are moving. Mm-hmm. We do the government access. We do city government for the city of Berkeley. We do the rent board, and, of course, we do our own personal programming as producers. So that would be my way of introducing public broadcasting.
Okay. Well, we have another caller. I'm going to bring them in and see what they're talking about. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it, but you know how I talk. Anyway, caller from 510-860-7162, you want to tell us who you are and tell us what you're calling in for.
Hey, Mr. Cotas, this is Latifa.
Oh, hi, Latifa. This is our second guest of the hour, so we're a little early here, but at least we got you on. I remember telling Angela that you and her probably wouldn't meet on the air at the same time, but lo and behold, here you are. So you want to say hello to Angela?
Hey, Miss Angela, how are you?
Hi, Latifa. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good.
All right. We'll get back to you, Latifa, okay?
All right.
All right, thank you. Hold on. All right, Angela, let me ask you one more question. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with the Combined Federal Campaign, or CFC?
Oh, sure. Now, that's my job, but it's not. Now, I believe, especially at this stage in my life, I believe you should work and you should love your work. I have a job that I love because we just raised $3.1 million in 3 months through the federal government employees. Combined Federal Campaign, CFC, is something that started back in 1961 when John F. Kennedy signed an executive order and said, federal government employees do not have to give to charities, but we're going to give you an opportunity to give to charities. So with that being well over 50 years now, I'm a part of that. I'm a director in San Francisco is my area, and CFC is across the country and around the world. Mainly military is outside of the states, but we're what you call CFC NorCal. So we're in Northern California. So that $3.1 million was from the federal employees in Northern California. So Southern California has theirs, and Washington, D.C. has theirs, and so on. So just to let you know, this is the largest workplace fundraiser in the world, and I'm a part of it. So our charities who receive this $3.1 million, now this is every year, so it doesn't stop. It ended in December. It started in October, but we're working on it right now. Right now we're doing applications because every year the charities have to, if they want to come back into the CFC, they have to renew their applications. And, of course, we have more that sign up for the first time. So we have thousands of charities who are a part of Combined Federal Campaign. And I just went to our thank you celebration at Beale Air Force Base. And just to let you know, the military really gets this. They understand because our theme, and just to wrap this up, our theme this year was my story, my choice, my pledge. And what that says is everybody has a story. And part of the reason why I'm with Combined Federal Campaign myself as a contractor with them is that I have a story, and my sister has PKD, which is polycystic kidney disease. And we have 10 brothers and sisters, and we all recently had to screen to be a match for her to donate our kidney. So all of us, you know, did this testing. And just so happened, PKD is in the Combined Federal Campaign. So if I were to give to a charity, I would give one because that would be part of my story and part of my choice. And how much I give would be part of what I give, my pledge. So the federal government, just today earlier, I was at the federal building in Oakland, and we gave all these plaques away to them because federal employees not only give, they're a part of the workforce who ask the other employees to give to all of these charities. So it's a big thing in the federal government. You ask any employee about the CFC, and they'll tell you, yeah, and they love it. They're compassionate about it. And I'm excited, and you can probably hear it in my voice, because I'm doing my end-of-the-year campaign celebration March 10th in San Francisco because I'm at the federal building on 7th Street. And so we're doing our thank yous. And so what we do is just give them, you know, awards for outstanding performance, and then those who raise the most, we give them, you know, what we call gold plaques, bronze, or silver. So anyway, that's the Combined Federal Campaign, and it's work that I love that pays me to do what I love to do and in order for me to do all the other things I do.
Yeah, well, see, that's what you call a win-win situation.
That's a win-win situation.
Good. I'm going to bring one more call in here before we go to break and see what they're about. Hold on a minute. Okay, caller 510-813-1920. You want to tell us your name and tell us why you're calling in? Hello? Uh-oh. Call dropped. All right. Well, Cleo, Angela, we're going to take a break for a minute. And we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes, okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Just want to say this program is brought to you by Hamp's Corner of America parent company, the CHEA Group. You can check us out at www.hampscoa.net, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp. You can find my blogs on a regular basis at guitarrhythm.com. That's katara-rhythm.com. Show is also brought to you by Rich Tycoon's all-original AO brand. You may have seen him wearing it on his latest CD, Chapter 34. He has on a pullover hooded sweatshirt with the pronounced letters AO capitalized. The hooded sweatshirts come in a variety of colors. He also has a zippered style with a hoodie and the same all-original lettering across the chest, playing the big AO for you. You can go to his site at blackbiz.net for the full details. I got mine. Order yours today. I always get compliments on it. We will take a song break here and come back with our guest. From our selected CDs for the show, it is the jazz group Pieces of a Dream with selections from their 2013 CD entitled In the Moment. Here is the title track from the CD, In the Moment, by Pieces of the Dream.
Thank you.
Pieces of a Dream. We're back with soon-to-be Dr. Angela Cleo Smith. I understand you are the MC for the annual Bay Area Black Music Awards show coming up Sunday, March 22nd, right?
I am. I was invited as an MC. I think a lot of people know me as being, part of the entertainment world, but at least behind the scenes. So I was asked to be a part of that. So it's not my event, but I think it's an honor to be an MC for that event.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to give us some of the details on that show?
Yeah, it's really it's going to be an exciting day. I was the host 1 year, a few years back of the Bay Area Black Music Awards, and this time it's going to be Sunday, March 22nd at the Bow Theater, and that's in San Leandro. I've never been there before, but they're starting to do a lot of events there. I hear it on the radio all the time. So some of the top performers are using that venue. So the Shy Lights are going to be there. They're featured. And some of the special tributes and honorees include Faye Carroll. She's a local singer. Rosie Gaines. We just recently did a tribute to her and fundraiser at Jeffrey's Inner Circle, and everybody in the entertainment and the business in the Bay Area came out there that day.
Wow.
And Dee Simon, they're going to have R&B, neo-soul, jazz, blues, spoken word, hip-hop, I mean, just a host of others. I don't even know who's all going to be there, you know, at this time, you know, because I think they're still putting it all together, but it's always a nice show, and it's always something to be a part of and be proud of.
Is it formal attire or just whatever you feel like is appropriate?
Yeah, you know what? I always say, I don't like to use that cliche, do you, but I think this is one of those. Yeah, be yourself. If you want to wear jeans and maybe a nice shirt or whatever, I think that would be appropriate. If you want to wear a nice suit, you can do that. It is an awards celebration, so most award ceremonies are people do dress up, but I don't think they're going to say, oh, you can't get in because you're not dressed appropriately. I do believe that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very nice lineup for an outstanding event. I think you mentioned, well, I asked you about Marshall Thompson, and I see that he's headlines. Is he one of the lead singers of the Shy Lights?
Well, you know what? From what I understand about the Shy Lights, he's the last living original Shy Light.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's as far as I know about them.
Yeah.
But you know how when they always replace one with another, it's usually the same sound, the same style, the same music. So I'm going to bet that it's going to be the same.
Well, I can attest to one thing. You know, they were groups from back in my day, me and my wife's day, so they had very nice harmony and dudes could get down, so to speak. So they came along when there was a lot of groups out there that had a lot of talent, so they managed to fight their way up the top because of their talent, so they're a very talented group. So I'm sure enjoy that dance on music. So, well, is there any other subject or announcement you want to cover before we let you go? Because I know you're anxious to sort of, well, I'm tired of CODIS now. I'm ready to go.
I'm really humble. And usually it's not always about me. It's always about someone else. And to talk about myself, I want you to one day come back to me when I do something phenomenal. When I do something for my community, when I help a young person to grow and maybe go to college, or I know we didn't talk about some of the restorative justice and the mediation that I do, but those are things that are part of the fabric of my life. So one day I want you just to come back and say, you did it. And not to pat me on my shoulder, but this is my mission. This is my calling. This is what I'm set out to do. You don't go back to school and get a doctorate degree at my age and say, okay, I'm doing this now, I did it, now I'm done. No, I have work. I'm accountable. I'm responsible. I have things that I have to do. So just be a part of my team one day and be a part of ProfessionalNet. If you're a professional, go to our website. It's professionalnet.ning.com. And see some of the great people and what they're doing. When you talk to Latifa, you know, the reason why I see how we, our paths continue to cross, yours, mine, Latifa, people like Nina Kazi, because we are on a mission to do good and to help others. It's not always about us as an individual. It's always about someone else. And
wow,
that's,
you've almost,
you know,
got...
and that's my... Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, you almost given my last word topic and wording. You'll listen to that, you'll hear it, and I think you'll be pleased. But no, I do agree. Go on. Don't let me stop.
Okay.
You.
No, I'm done. I want you to talk to Latifa and hear the wonderful things she does for women. She has a story of her own, and we do things for a reason, and you'll find out more from her why she does what she does, and why you do what you do, and why what we all do, you know.
Exactly.
So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You want to give us your personal contact information, or should we just go to professionalnet?
Professionalnet.ning.com, Facebook, Angela Cleo Smith. That's, you can always find me somewhere. I'm social media, so there's a lot of YouTube videos out there. You know, I make it my business to be out there, so my business is social. So you can, if you can't find me and you're looking for me, then there's a problem. Just Google.
Exactly.
Google
exactly.
us these days. Google Codis Hampton. You'll find me.
yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's been informative and a pleasure, Angela. We hope to bring you back sometime, and you just confirmed that I can, so you know I'm going to have you back as often as I can. Thanks for being an excellent guest and having fun with us. You take care.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Take care
now. All right. All right.
Bye.
Well, we present the second cut we are playing from the Jazz Pieces of a Dream CD entitled In the Moment. The song is written and all parts played by band member James K. Lloyd. This cut is called Misty Eyed. Here is Pieces of a Dream with Misty Eyed. Thank you. Yeah, Pieces of a Dream. Well, we have another lady who is involved in the What Can I Do for You Ladies in the World of Business. Next, I found her to be as tenacious as one can be about her cause. She is the founder of P-Bay International. It's an organization that addresses that kind of a mission. I don't want to tell you about it. I'm going to let her tell us all about what she does. Miss Latifa Abdullah is with us in our second half of the show. Sorry for having you wait so long, Latifa. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm well, thank you, Curtis. How's it going for you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. Well, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, sure. Well, I'm a mom. I have two daughters, and I am from Champaign, Illinois. And I'm an advocate for transparency and personal transformation. And I really like for I like to see women be well and do well. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Well, I understand that you are the founder of T-Bay International, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Is that right? Okay. What type
of organization? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what type of organization is it, and what are you hoping to accomplish?
Okay, well, you know, I officially adopted the name to buy from my Filipino readers. So I adapted that pronunciation to buy. But basically, the organization promotes and supports and empowers women both in life and in business. And we provide virtual management. On the business side, we provide virtual management, brand, and administrative relief to busy women leaders. And then on the other side of that, for women that are not in business, we provide a place for women to come and just really support each other in everyday life.
And I know recently you, especially a few months ago, you were scheduling about an event every other month, and so they were pretty successful, huh?
Yes, we really, really enjoyed allowing people to come and be supported. So whether we were showcasing women speakers or women businesses via, we have vendors at the different events, speakers at the different events, and really just asking the ones that came to contribute to be transparent. You know, I think it's really important for the transparency is really important to be able to really to be real, you know, and so people can relate. And so those are the types of events we had, you know, just the really to add to the people that came there. And, so they were successful.
So I understood you to say that it's not only for women entrepreneurs, it's just women in general that you're reaching out to, right?
Right, yeah. When we initially started, it was basically for women in business and really assisting them in building their brands and providing different resources for those in business. So we still do support women that are in business with virtual management. But, you know, we found that some of the women felt left out because they were like, well, we don't have a business, but we want to be included. So that's why we have the Girl Talk. And it's more informal. That's for women really just to get together and kind of leave the business of everyday life behind. So.
Okay. All right. Now, is there a specific age group that you aim for at any particular time, or is just come as you are at whatever age, as long as
whatever age. We find that mostly the early 30s, the early 30s through the early 50s. But you know, everyone is invited. We've had younger and older, but you know, that seems to be the bulk of the people that we associate with is the early 30s through the early 50s.
Then, in other words, it's sort of more settled people or people who want to be settled, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
What do you see yourself in your organization in the near future?
Well, you know, we're going to continue to provide services to women in business and provide the platforms that really build a sense of community and empower women. And, you know, that so that will include the virtual management, business support and training services. And then, you know, we have Empowerment Today coming probably the second quarter of this year, and that's a show that will be addressing life, business, and taboo issues, a lot of issues that we don't talk about. We need to talk about them so that they're not just swept under the, you know, swept under the rug. And then we'll continue the Girl Talk, and that's the informal meetup for women to kind of, you know, let down their hair and just really build relationship. A lot of times we're just kind of like in the high-bye mode and don't really get to stop and know each other. So, yeah, so those three things, the bulk of it is the virtual management, the Empowerment Today, and Girl Talk.
And for those subjects that you don't, that women don't normally talk about, that you do talk about at some of the seminars, what would they be?
Well, you know, coming up for Empowerment Today in the second quarter, sometimes, you know, people have really been through some things. So, like sexual abuse, domestic violence, and maybe being with someone that has an addiction or had an addiction, and why, you know, smart women or people that are considered smart women maybe choose to stay in those situations. So just the gamut, you know, so from abuse to different types of abuse, because, you know, you have the sexual abuse, you have the people have endured that, and then you have the domestic violence, and then you have, you know, just all these different issues. And sometimes people, you know, when we keep quiet about things, then, you know, you have your silent sufferers, and people feel like, well, they're the only ones that have come through or are going through things because no one is talking about it. So those are some of the issues.
Good. It's sort of the meat and potatoes of society's ills, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. All right. I want to talk about younger folks, because I know you said 30, 40, 50s, and I understand that. But are you planning on having a program for even younger people? And I'm specifically talking about now something that's not so, well, let me just say, you know, I'm thinking about young girls who are maybe 19, 20, 21, who have a baby or two or something like that. You got anything in mind for that?
Well, you know, I have been thinking about that. My daughter had mentioned, my youngest daughter had mentioned some things that were going on among her in her age group. And so I've mm-hmm. been thinking about that. I haven't stepped out to do it yet, but it is something I'm thinking about. But, you know, sometimes we can do things on an informal basis, but as far as an actual structured program, I don't have anything right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you, in other words, your couch is open for giving out advice, and it don't necessarily have to be in a formal situation is what you're saying.
Exactly. I think, you know, we have the there are a couple of different things, the, you know, encouragement and really letting the young people know their potential. Sometimes it's just covered up, you know, so sometimes they don't really know their potential or their worth, and, you know, so really pointing out healthier options. But sometimes it really is, so encouragement and then being an example, but then also sometimes it's really a process, you know, it's a process because sometimes there are just like voids there. And I noticed that until a lot of times people are reaching out externally trying to get different voids met. And so mm-hmm. until you come through that process and those, and you find that it's really internal. So sometimes we're trying to like reach for things that are, you know, external to meet those needs. So it's a learning process. And so sometimes that just really has to take place.
Okay. And along those lines, I was building up to this long question I have because, you know, I probably should be calling the TV network, but I'm going to ask you anyway. My mm-hmm. wife and I watch TV and are fans of Being Mary Jane, starring Gabriel Union. Are you familiar with that show?
Okay. I've seen the previews. I haven't watched it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, for your information, there's an actress who plays her niece. The character is a young, overweight female with a toddler, and having just had a new baby by a different man. She really has no career prospects and is temporarily living with CNN-like newscaster Gabriel Union, the character she plays. I'm not sure if she knows what she wants to be, but is still sexually active and in love with a guy who has babies by a couple of other women. Clearly, her self-esteem is low. She has no real ability to earn a decent living, and she needs direction. I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but let me just ask you, what do you think about, you know, those type of situations, and do you sometimes run into those type of girls, maybe not the exact same issues, but at least something akin to that?
Yes, actually, you know, I've seen that, and it really does go back to what I was saying about the sometimes it really is a process. Sometimes, you know, it's what people have seen and experienced, and sometimes it's like a generational thing. And then, you know, so it really is a process, because sometimes, you know, after people know to do better, you know, they'll do better, but it also has to do with the mindset. So I think there are a lot of things to consider there. Sometimes, you know, people are just, like I said, it's a generational thing where they're just kind of repeating what they've seen. And then if they don't know that they're valuable, and I think probably a lot of women, including myself, you know, have gone through a thing where you don't really know your worth. And so until you come to yourself, you know, you might allow a lot of different things. But, you know, once you come to yourself, then you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to allow this. And you set boundaries, but, you know, sometimes it is a process.
Okay. Yeah, and, excuse me, and to be more specific, do you find that is, since you are a specialty in empowering women, do you find that it is best to steer women, as we just described, to some type of entrepreneur venture, something very small, man, you, this while continuing to enhance or pursue a formal education in business as one of the best ways to free themselves of societal ills and away from government or family dependency? I know that's a lot to think about right there, but I'm just want you to condense it into, yeah. What do you
think? Okay, well, you know, I think, a couple things. I see that it's definitely good to have your own, because you never really know with someone else's job or someone else's or with a government agency, you know, how long that's right. going to be there. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I think, and then some people have an entrepreneurial bent and some people don't, I think. But one of the biggest things, I think, is it still has to do with mindset, because even when you point people into a certain direction, you still have to have the mindset to be able to follow through. And so if it's business, you know, you have to have, there are different things that, you know, you just really, have you ever seen, like, for an example, like with the athletes or entertainers, you know, if maybe they didn't always have like a certain amount of money, but then when they come into money, you know, you kind of wonder why they do some of the things that they do that are not necessarily so smart. But it's because, you know, that's who they were before they had the money. Yeah. So I think the mindset is just a really important thing to address. And that way, you know, you can, you're going to have a follow through and you're going to be able to stick to what. And then, you know, I guess also the purpose, like, when you know your purpose, then you whatever you set out to do, you're going to follow through. So the mindset, the purpose, I think those are really important. So, yeah, I think being independent of, you know, the different government agencies is important, but you have to have a certain mindset to be able to go a different direction. Because, CODAs, when you think about it, you know, you see everybody going, a lot of people going the same way. And for you to be a business owner or do something that has to do with entrepreneurism or to be an entrepreneur, you have to have a different mindset. So it's kind of like you're going against the grain. So you really have to be strong enough to, because you're going to have a lot of naysayers, you know, in addition to what you would normally have. So you really have to be able to stand, you know, a lot of things, you know, the naysayers mm-hmm. and all of that. You have to have your own conviction is what I'm saying. And otherwise, you'll be toppled over and just kind of trampled. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's where I was going with that because you said it. You just can't, you know, just because, you know, a person is don't seem to be going in any particular direction, you can't pick their direction for them. They mm-hmm. more or less have to, I mean, you could, I guess you could, you know, you could put out options out there, but the main thing, and I think is what I hear you saying is that, you know, you've got to be there and listen to this person and try to, you know, fill in the blank spaces, but they have to be the one to actually do the work and say, here's what I want to do.
Exactly. I've come across people that, you know, have potential and a lot of things that they can do. But, you know, you have the people that just continue to talk about it, and I'm not sure if that's because a fear of failure or a fear of the unknown, but sometimes people just continue to talk and they never really do take action.
Yeah. Well, most of us are in the service people business, all activists of some sort. So what is your idea of a successful day or encounter with a young lady or a lady, period, in need of your services?
Let's see, a successful day or encounter with a lady. You know, CODIS, I really like to be surrounded by eagles. You know, mm-hmm. when I say eagles, I'm talking about people with a progressive mindset. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to people who are not only talking about doing great things, but are actually stepping out to do them. So that, you know, when I'm surrounded by eagles, mm-hmm. that makes a successful day for me. And then also the other part of that is when I'm able to be a transparent example or I'm able to encourage someone, mm-hmm. that will be a successful day for me mm-hmm. also.
Okay. Now let's get into what Latifa likes. What is your number one passion as of today?
Well, I think it really just goes back to being well in every area and seeing others do and be well. I think it took me a minute to realize that, you know, to take care of me. And I think I was always on the other end of always doing for other people and not and neglecting mm-hmm. self. So I think being well in every area and then seeing others do well and be well.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to give us your point of contact so that people can get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. You know, our email address is info@tibayintl.com. Again, that's info@tibayintl.com.
Okay. And, of course, we can also get you on professionalnet.neem,
mm-hmm.
right? .com. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
All right, Ms. Latifa Abdullah, please accept my sincere thank you for being a guest on our show and being very patient while we went through the first interview with Angela.
Sure. It was great to hear everything that she's doing. And thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed the time here, both the conversation and the music. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I think you have a very good idea of what is needed to lift women in general up in our society today, and I hope you have much more success in the future. So do you have any last words or advice or announcements?
Well, I would just say look for our Empowerment Today show coming the second quarter of this year. And I just want to encourage people to kind of take some quiet time. That's like a really big thing for me. A lot of times we're so busy but not really productive. So I think one thing that really helps in everyday life, whether you're in business or not, is really just to take some quiet time and really get instructions and directions so that you're not just busy but you're productive.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. You have to rejuvenate the mind, otherwise there will be no mind.
mm-hmm. You're so right.
All right. Thank you again, Latifah. We will see you and hope to talk to you again someday on the show, that is.
Much.
I'll be talking to you, I know. But
all right.
Thanks for being here. And you take it easy.
All right.
Here.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Let's continue with our review of the Pieces of a Dream 2013 In the Moment CD. This is the group's 20th album. They are a five-member band that has been entertaining us with good music over the years. Here's the third cut from their CD. It's called Never Let It In. Never, never let it in by Pieces of a Dream for your listening pleasure. just so you know, I am still working on this timing thing. I know we went over a little bit for this show, and we've got quite a bit to go, so I'm going to continue. But I'd like to make sure that people are able to express themselves, so I try not to interrupt to move the show along. I just try to frame it in such a way where they're able to express themselves. But anyway, we're back, and now for our last word segment for today's show, entitled ProfessionalNet.Ning.com. I have friends and family I may not talk to or even see for days, maybe even months. Yet my family and friends know me. They know when they call and need a favor, I am there for them, if at all possible. They also know if they come to me talking out of the side of their neck, meaning they are always asking for something, but never bring anything to the table, I tend to have less time for them than I would anybody else. So when we think of family members or friends and our interactions with them, we normally think of having a feel-good experience with somebody you care for in one way or another. My point, we have to treat business associates as part of our family and friends network. Why? Because we do much better in our business, whether that is a service or sales entity, because of our networking and support from the same. People within our circle normally know what we do, and when needed, they provide support, especially for our businesses, ventures. Keep in mind that I do not measure the level of support here, be that lukewarm or overwhelming, just that they provide some measure of support. For me, that is the same type of support we should look for and plan to give when networking among business associates. Today, we heard from two ladies in our community that have tremendous track records of being out there in support of their and subsequently our community. Either one of those ladies could probably land a sales or human resources position at some large corporation at a very comfortable salary. But that is not who they are. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with going to a 9-to-5 every day, collecting a check to help feed your family, taking yearly vacation, etc., etc. You know the drill. For most entrepreneurs and individuals who are wired to support less fortunate people, people who may not have any real marketable skills, they would feel a void in their lives. You heard the reasons given by Angela and Latifa as to why they chose to do what they do. It is the same reason I am out here attempting to connect with people and provide information, direction, and present contacts that can aid our listeners. It's because we care and want to help anybody who is in need of our services. It's how we roll, ride, and die with you. That's also why we tend to network with people of similar views and goals. And that, folks, is what ProfessionalNet.Ning.com is attempting to do. Their website headline screams in bold lettering, Professional Net, the networking source where professionals connect. They have assembled about over 166 members who bring an enormous amount of talent and skill level from various fields. My last word for today is check out ProfessionalNet.Ning.com for yourself. You don't have to attend the meeting, pass out your business card, or leave your office. All you have to do is go to that website, begin to communicate and network online, and your name and business to the list of contacts. You know, add them so that you can be a person, too, that belongs to ProfessionalNet.com. Make it a 2015 action item on your yearly plans. I liken the website, and I've said this earlier, to the professional site of LinkedIn. Hey, Bay Area, this is one local, tremendous website. If you are in the business of helping people, selling services or product, join us over at ProfessionalNet.Ning.com.
you will find a network of people willing to help you to move to the next level. Then, later in the year, during the month of December, you will see that was a wise decision. Our last selection of the day from the Pieces of a Dream, a CD in the moment, is called Under the Influences of Pisces. Here is Under the Influence of Pisces by Pieces of a Dream. Under the Influence of Pisces, Pieces of a Dream. Well, that's it for today, folks. Let me thank our guests once again for their participation.
to our show. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Well, some people say, well, your show is a little long. It's an hour and a half. But the problem is I only do two shows a month. I can't do it every week because I have other things I do. But I try to present a show every other week to make sure that we have guests that people will be interested in. I've got to have the music. What can I say? I can't live without it. That probably would remove about 25 minutes of the show, but I will not do it. I can tell you that because I do enjoy the music just as I am presenting it to you. Just so you and the audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to see our or ask our guest or myself a question. Since we always sprinkle our show with the 5 to 6 musical cuts I was just talking about, let us know your favorites and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Please join us again on our regular day of Wednesday, March 11th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our guest will be Regina Kimball, a.k.a. Reggie Kim. She is the producer and co-producer of My Nappy Roots, A Journey Through Black Heritage. She is sponsoring the 3rd annual Nappy Wood LO Expo on the 1st and 2nd of this year in L.A. There is an event in which we plan to broadcast our blog talk radio show live at the event that weekend. She will be here to update us on the many other related events for this year and beyond. She is a returning guest from December of 2014. I'm anxious to hear from her. Details of our guests and other specifics will be available on our websites, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other social media. Meanwhile, thanks for the support of this show, our blogs, and comments on how we are doing. As I said, this is only the beginning. We still gonna roll, people. If you can't join us while we are live, you can always tune in to our website and listen to the show at your leisure. There is a podcast, too. For now, peace, and thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night, and take it easy. We're out.